If you got your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. I'm going old school tonight. For those of you who are new or those of you who are just joining us, I've done a series, I guess you could call it a series, it's just kind of been here and there, a series of messages called Lessons from Kings. And what we've been doing is every once in a while, we've been going through the Bible and through the Old Testament, and we've been taking a look at the kings of the Old Testament. You know, there's 1 Kings, there's 2 Kings, there's 1 Chronicles, there's 2 Chronicles, just to name four books right off the bat that tell us the stories of the kings. And, you know, as a modern Christian, as a church some 2,000 years after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came, died, and was resurrected, it's easy for us to look at the Old Testament as old information. Yet, it's in our Bibles for a reason. And so often we overlook the stories of old. So often we look at the miracles of God from the days of old and the prophets and the kings that we just rely on the New Testament. And the New Testament is the testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant in His blood, as He says in the Last Supper. But the Old Testament gives us some background. It gives us some rapport with God. For those of you who know who I am, for those of you who are in Bible college, you know that I'm the church history teacher. I'm the history guy. I like history. If you were to go to my house and turn on the TV, likely it's on the History Channel because I like watching that stuff. It just intrigues me. And one of the things I really enjoy is to look at the life of people past, of people who have come and have gone, great leaders, great people of influence, either positive or even negative. Not all great things came from good people. And it's interesting to me. So what I want to do is take a look at some of the kings of the old time. And today we're going to take a look at a king. His name is Asa. A-S-A. Asa. And the title of tonight's message is Lessons from King. Lessons from Kings. And what I want to do is I want to take a look at this king. Now this is the great-grandson of the great King Solomon. And King David, and after King Solomon and King David, you guys know David and Goliath and Solomon. If you don't know anything about the Bible, you've probably heard of Solomon through urban legend and through history. Solomon's Mines, the Queen of Sheba, all the different things. Solomon's a very famous person, and Solomon was the last king of the entire nation of Israel. And after Solomon, his son came and said, listen, you know what? You thought my father was hard. You thought that the rule of my father against you was tough. Wait till you see my rule. And so what happened is a civil war kind of broke out, and the nation of Israel basically broke into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The 10 tribes of Israel stayed in the northern kingdom. The two other tribes of Israel, of Judah and of Benjamin, came to the southern kingdom. And so there was the kingdom of Judah, and there's the kingdom of Israel. So a lot of times, the beautiful thing is that there's so many kings now, because there's two kingdoms. Basically, Israel's been broken in half. And here Asa is the grandson, the great-grandson of Solomon. And he is a king of Judah. And his predecessors before him, they veered away from the things of God. Remember David. King David was a righteous man. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. But God told David, you have too much blood on your hands because of the wars, because of the affliction, because of the things that you have done, that you can't build my temple, so I'm going to pass it on to my son Solomon. So Solomon, David's son, built the temple. And Israel was in a great and mighty place in its history. And then all of a sudden, as the temple was consecrated, and as things were rolling in the ways of the Lord, as the countries divided into two separate countries, essentially, things began to shift, and men's ideologies began to take place of what God had told them to do, and men started to rule how they saw fit rather than how God told them to. And they veered away from the things of God, and they veered away from the commandments of God, and they began to worship other gods. They began to let the outside world, to let the pagan world, to let those from all around them influence their thoughts, their beliefs, their lifestyles, to the point where it was very dismal as far as the worship of God. And then all of a sudden, Asa comes. And Asa is known as a good king. He's a reformer. He came and he changed things. So, you know, but the thing about Asa's life is we'll find out is that this isn't just how you start, it's also how you finish. Yeah.
And that's one of the beautiful things I love about looking at lessons from Kings. It's about we can take the good of what they did, but we can also learn from the bad. Now, I don't know about you. Some of us like to learn on our own. They say, I got to learn the hard way. You can see somebody make a mistake over and over and over again. It doesn't matter until you do it yourself. That's the only way you can get it. And then there are others on the other side of the coin where maybe you can learn by looking at somebody and saying, well, that didn't work for that person, or that person was clearly in the wrong here, so let me try this. Either way, our lives apply to this and what we get from the lessons from the Kings, because we can take a look at what Asa has done and we can say, wow, look, he was really right here and he was really wrong there. Or in our own lives, we can say, wow, on a different scale than maybe where he's at, we've done this or we've done that, and now where do we go from there? So today I want to take a look at lessons from the Kings. And I got four things for you out of the book of 2 Chronicles in the 14th chapter. Now, the story of Asa, the Chronicles of Asa go from 2 Chronicles 14 all the way through chapter 16. And then we pick up on his son Jehoshaphat. And we've already covered his son. Geez, it was probably like 2 years ago we covered his son Jehoshaphat, who was also a good king. But today I want to look at Asa. So we'll pick up in 2 Chronicles in the 14th chapter. Four simple things as far as looking at lessons from Kings tonight. 2 Chronicles 14. I'm going to read verse number 2 through verse number 4. Verse number 1 tells us about Asa's dad, how he died and he was buried in the city of David. And now all of a sudden Asa comes into place. And verse 2 picks up and says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So right off the bat, the very first description we see of this king is that he did what was good and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. And he commanded Judah, his kingdom, to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. Now, Asa did some things right here. If you look at verse number 3, it says that he removed the altars. He removed them. They're gone. He broke down the sacred pillars and he cut down the wooden images. Number one, as far as lessons from Kings, what are we to take out of this? Here's this young king steps into place and coming out of idolatry, out of a family who didn't serve after God, who didn't follow after the words of God. And now all of a sudden this young man steps up. And what we see is, number one, is Asa cleaned house. Clean house. Now, I'm not saying, now that you see the words clean house. Now, I'm not saying lessons from Kings means Pastor Luke told you to go home and vacuum your carpet. Okay, we're talking about a different house. And in the old days, they were talking about kingdoms and religions and beliefs. But you know, the new days, the New Testament tells us that we, our bodies, are the temple of God. That we ourselves are the vessels in which we house God in our hearts. And Asa, as he stepped into the kingdom, as he stepped into authority, the first thing he's mentioned for, the first thing that he's noted for, is he was a man that sought after God. And he didn't just seek after God. He removed, he broke down, he cut down those things that represented anything other than God. And then he went forward and commanded. He said, this is law, this is a decree, this is what I'm saying from this day forward, that we shall serve God. No longer do we serve the idols. No longer do we serve what it was before. No longer do we serve what society says or what's cool or what's right or what we think, we feel, what it should be that way. But now we serve God. Whether we like it or not, we serve God. Asa cleaned house. So often in our lives, what we do is we come before God and we come into the church and we give our lives and we give our hearts to Jesus Christ and we clean house. But we don't clean house. We clean a little bit, but there's some dirt left over. We sweep that under the rug, jam that into the closets of our lives. You know, God gave us everything that we need. We saw that this weekend in the Easter message, that 2 Peter told us that God has given us everything we need pertaining to a godly life, to living a divine nature. God has given us everything we need. How is that? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us everything. He's given us the way to salvation. He has given us the way to a new life. He has showed us that when we grab a hold of Jesus Christ, that we are no longer who we once were, but now we are a new creation. God has given us everything. God didn't just give us everything. He gave His everything. And in turn, you and I ought to give our everything. And Asa hears this young king and says, you know what? There's something about this. I don't want to go the way my fathers. I saw what happened. I don't want to go that way. So Asa cleaned house. Asa cleaned house. You know, it's like this. This is sometimes I see this even in my own life I've seen this. Let's think of it like this. Let's say I made a big batch of cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Oh man, warm right out of the oven. Oh man, you know, some Toll House, some chocolate chunk. I mean, if you don't like chocolate chip cookies, then replace chocolate chip with whatever you might like. Okay, let's just all pretend. Okay, oh man. Warm out of the oven. Here, Pastor Luke comes and says, oh, man, you want a cookie? I'll take a cookie. Oh, that's great. It's wonderful. Then suppose I came and I had that batter and I said, you know what? Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how. But there was just a little vial of anthrax just up on the countertop. And when I closed the cabinet, it dropped and it spilled on the counter. I dusted it all off. But there might just be a couple grains of powder. There might just be a little bit of contamination of this deadly poison that might have gotten into the cookie mix. But you know what? I didn't want to scrap it because I spent so much time. I made this from hand and I kneaded it and I made it and I baked it. But there might just be a little bit of contamination from this anthrax. And I offered you the cookie knowing that there might be anthrax in the cookie. Would you want that cookie anymore? No, Pastor Luke, I'll pass. I'll save myself for the sealed container of Oreos where I know they're safe, that they were made in a sterile environment, and I choose life, is what we say. Yet so often our life is like those cookies, and we go and we say, oh man, look at this. I've made this gift, this body, this consecration, this sacrifice unto God as me. Yet we don't clean house all the way. That's those things that we see in our lives and say, but those were the good old days. Oh man, you know what though? I love that. I love this artist or that music, or I love this clothing line, or I love this, or I love that, or you know what? It's just a sip. It's just a puff. And we say, it's okay. It's all right. Because in my heart, I know that I'm there, but we brush that off to the corner and we leave that off to the side. And sure enough, someday, that anthrax, that little contamination in our life because we fail to clean house, comes back. In a dark and dismal moment of our life, perhaps we're going through something. Perhaps there's a moment of our faith being tested, and now all of a sudden we look back and we say, what is happening in my life? Anthrax, the poison that might destroy us, bring us down, depression might come in, sickness comes in, and we try to figure out what is going on. Why? Because we failed to clean house. We failed to remove those things that were in our lives. We failed to remove the old. The Bible tells us that we are new creations, church. Yet sometimes we fail to believe what the Word of God says about us. Oh, I can't get rid of that. I can't shake this. I can't move that. It's amazing that we had that moment of God just before, and here I'm talking about cleaning house. Some of you came up in this place today, you just cleaned house. And it's time we as the church begin to realize who we are because of God. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, everything. Therefore, He asks from us everything in return. Our life, a living sacrifice, a temple to the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? He's talking about lessons with kings. Very familiar verse. I'll just pop it up on the overhead. We know this. Matthew 6, chapter verse 33. Jesus Christ saying, seek what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not second, not third. Don't make it, oh yes, it's an important part of your life. You should. No, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Clean out that junk that's behind, because if anything stays in your life that wants to be a priority, it's always going to fight for number one. It's it's always going to fight for your priority. And you're going to live a life fighting and battling those things because you couldn't get rid of them. Shake them out. Get them out. Shake the dust out of the carpet and hang it out to dry. You guys with me as far as lessons from Kings? Lessons from Kings. Asa. Moving on. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. Now, here, Asa goes through and he begins to reform Judah. And he's commanded them. And there's a time of peace and the people are happy. Now, all of a sudden, Ethiopia from Egypt, out from that area of Africa, comes up. And they rise up against Judah. Now, the Bible tells us that Asa had some 500,000 men at his command. That's a big army. Ethiopia and Egypt come to him with 1 million men and some 300 chariots. And now, all of a sudden, they come and they meet at this battlefield, and the armies are facing each other as armies did in that time. And here Asa is, the king, over his army, overlooking the battlefield, overlooking. And now, all of a sudden, Asa makes a statement. Now let's read, continue on in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, verse number 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against him with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. And he came to Maresha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in a battle array in the valley of Zephathath and Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, is it nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power? Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. Asa goes and he sees this. And he says, listen, God, we have dedicated ourselves to be associated with you. People see Judah. People see us, the chosen ones. And they know that we have a God who sits in heaven on the throne. We know. And he says, listen, your name is attached to us. Oh, God, doesn't matter how many men we have or how few men we have. You are able. Don't let men be stronger than you. And so Asa cries out to God. Number two, as far as lessons from Kings, based on what we just read from Asa's plea to God, is that to put God before your troubles. You know, we have troubles in our lives. We have consequences in our lives. We have things that come against us, things that sicknesses, diseases, faith, things that test our trials. You know what I mean? There's so many different things that come against you and I. Life. And oftentimes what we do is we put God behind our troubles and we try to figure out, how can we get out of this? How can we resolve this? What can we do? Oh my goodness, how am I going to get out of this? When rather, God says, when you put me first. Remember we just read in Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And now we see Asa as he's standing there in front of the battlefield. His army is in a great array. And he says, you know what, God? Before I even go out to fight, you be with us. God, this battle is yours. It is won before it ever began. Why? Because we represent you. Because we have cleaned house and we have committed to serve our God. And you and I have got to learn, church, that we have got to put God before our problems. We've got to put God before our troubles. We know that trouble is going to come. Jesus tells us that in John the 15th chapter. He says, in this world you'll have afflictions, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome this world. So we need to know that if we put God in charge in front of our problems, if we put God in front of our issues, if we put God in front of those trials and those tribulations that come in our lives, that we have already set ourselves up for victory. We'll see how in just a second. The Bible goes on to say, I don't have this on the overhead. The Bible goes on to say, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. An army of 1 million men and 300 chariots fled. Before the battle even began, before the war even started, God came down upon that army of 1 million men. That's the entire Inland Empire. fled. Why? Because God's hand was on them. God's hand is in your life. Pastor Deborah, a couple of weeks ago, was here on a Wednesday night. She was talking about that. You know, one of the things she said is it doesn't matter how big your problems are. It doesn't matter how big your troubles are, whether it's your bank account, whether it's your health, whether it's the doctor's report, whether it's your kids, whether it's your house, whether it's your marriage, whatever it might be, whether it's your job. It doesn't matter how big your problem is. You know why? Because God is always bigger. God is always bigger. Here is the army of Judah facing 1 million men. Can you imagine the cry of battle that those men, as they banged their swords against their shield? Can you imagine the shaking of the earth as they marched in unison together? 1 million men. Yet God was bigger than their problem. God was bigger than their troubles. So church, put God before your problems, before your troubles, not after. You with me? I love what the book of Psalms says. Psalms 56, it says, "When I cry out to you, then my enemies turn back. This I know, because God is for me." You know what else I love? Continuing on that same thought, here Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Romans, continuing on that same thought, Romans the 8th chapter in the 31st verse, he says, "But what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us?" Then what can be against us? When you put God in front of your problem, you don't see your problem, you see God. Asa. Lessons from Kings. Put God in front of his problems. You with me tonight? Yes. We're talking about lessons from Kings. Continuing on, we're going to skip now to a couple chapters later. In 2 Chronicles in the 16th chapter, we're picking up. Let me give you a little bit of background of what's happened at this time. After the Ethiopians fled, the world in general had saw God's power. And they said, "Hey, listen, we're not messing with these guys, all right? Let them be." So a great period of time has gone by. And there's been a great time of peace for Judah. And so Asa has taken time and he's fortified the buildings that his grandfather built as far as fortresses. And they've had a good time of peace. Now all of a sudden, the king of Israel, the other 10 tribes, builds a fortress 10 miles from the capital of Judah, Jerusalem. That's pretty close. So he begins to build this fortress as a statement saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm coming for you. I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. And I'm building my fortress right on your border." And so now Asa begins to panic a tad bit. And so what he does is he takes gold and silver out of the temple of God and he sends them to the king of Syria. And he says, "Hey, will you ally with me against Israel and attack them to distract them?" So he sends the gold and silver to the king, and the king goes and he attacks the northern kingdom, and Asa goes and he attacks this stronghold that Israel's built and tears it down and builds his fortress. And then all of a sudden a prophet comes to Asa and begins to speak to Asa based on what he's just done. And we pick up in 2 Chronicles in the 16th chapter. And that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." We're talking about lessons of kings. What did Asa do here that went wrong? Asa forgot his past victories. Don't forget your past victories. Don't forget God's past victories. Here Asa standing and watching an army of 1 million struck by God, but deteriorated by God, fled from the very power of God, and now all of a sudden, the northern kingdom of Israel builds a fortress near his capital, doesn't even attack or anything. And Asa panics and goes and reveals and allies himself with another king. A king who doesn't represent God, a king who doesn't stand for the things of God, a king whose very nature and being was for idolatry and things of that nature. And here Asa aligns himself, accepts himself, gives the things out of God's temple to get this man in his pocket. And Asa forgot past victories. You know, I remember we had a patio built in our backyard, and the contractor was telling us before we even started on it, and he says, we wanted to take pictures and we wanted to show this so that we can show people what we've done. And, okay, that's great, no problem. I don't have a problem, you know. And he says, because you're only as good as your last job. In business, you're only as good as what just happened. It doesn't matter if you're a business owner and you had something great and mighty and an amazing, product 20 years ago, if you don't remain your last product relevant and good, it doesn't matter where, your business isn't going to succeed. Your reputation, you may have a great and mighty thing that happened some time ago, but if you don't remember what's happened, if you don't continue, then you know what? Your reputation is old and dusty. We, the church, have got to remember the past victories that God has in our life. Why? Therefore, because they solidify the future battles. You know, it's easy. It's amazing how quick we people forget things. I mean, we could go through life and we can see, look at Asa, a mighty, mighty king, a great king. He went through, he cleaned house to the point. He kicked his own mom off the throne because she worshiped other gods. He removed her as queen, his own mom. He was zealous, and yet he forgot that God had come through with him, that God had revealed himself, that God had put his hand upon that nation, that God had said, these are my people, therefore, why would you need to go and ally with somebody who doesn't represent me? Why would you need to go out there and do something that is contrary to the word of God? Yet, oftentimes in our lives, in a smaller scale, we do that. Afflictions come. Hard times come. Our faith gets tested. Our health gets tested. Our children make us think that we're going to go nuts. And we go to what the nanny on TV says. We go to what the next pyramid scheme says so that we can try to get rich fast. We go to what men say. We align ourselves with what the world says. We align ourselves with what men say, with the deception and the whispers that the world comes at us and says, because that's what sounds great. But the solution is to remember who was with you in the past. Who was there who had your back in the past? Who was there that had victory for you before it ever began? You might say, well, Pastor Luke, you know what? I'm new to this whole thing. I can't remember the past victory for God in my life. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the past victory for God in your life, that he sent Jesus Christ to die on this world for you, a beaten, bloody mess, so that now you can have a past victory. So you may be new to this, you may be old to this, but you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful to those, like you said, those who are loyal to him. And he goes to and fro, showing how he might make himself strong, because he is the name of God. Above all other names, above all principality, that's named or not named, God is above it all. And we've got to remember to not forget our past victories. Are you guys with me as far as lessons from Kings? Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Didn't say he delivers me, delivered. Hey man, that's recalling what happened. That's recalling the past. When the world comes at you, when life happens, you recall the past. I thank God that he sent his son, that I am free. I thank God when those temptations arise, when that bondage wants to come back, when that healing or that sickness or that affliction wants to come back in your body, you say, you know what? I am thankful that I called out to God and he heard me and he delivered me by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you remember that the battle had already been won on your behalf. Remember those past victories. And lastly, King Asa. Lessons from the kings. 2 Chronicles 16, verses 12 through 13. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, And his malady was severe. That means his disease was very serious. And yet in his disease, and yet in his disease, and yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. He did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his father. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Lessons from Kings. Seek God, not men. Seek God, not men. Now let me tell you something. The Bible says that he didn't seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. I'm not telling you to not go to the doctor. I'm not telling you to do what they've already told you to do, but I'm telling you to understand that the physicians may have their remedies, they may have their solutions for you, but understand this, that they know what the world has, but you've got something stronger, you got something better than a prescription, you got something, you got the power of the living God behind you. And there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor and you say, oh, that's a sign that I don't have faith. No, that's a sign that you're taking care of your body, the temple of the Lord. But you know what? That the Lord doesn't mean what the doctors say doesn't mean what that is set in stone. What the doctor's report is, whether it's bad or horrible or terminal or whatever it might be, that just means that God is able. It gives God the ability to step in and do what he is called, to do what his word of God says, to say, you know what? You have been healed. No weapon formed against you should prosper. That he is the God of comfort. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are spiritual. So the doctors may give us carnal medications, but our warfare is based on God who is above us, who has already won. And we don't seek what men say about us, but rather what God says about us. Asa sought the physicians and he didn't even seek after God, it says. It says he just didn't even recount it. Remember I said in the beginning of this, it's not how you start, but it's how you finished. And here is a good man, a king that sought to reform, that set the path for his son Jehoshaphat to continue in the reformation of the kingdom. And here was a good man, but in the end of his life, he forgot to seek after the God, the one who revealed to him 30 years before his reign. The one who he saw deliver him from the armies. The one he saw who brought redemption and peace to his nation. And now all of a sudden, at the end of his life, he forgot to seek after the one who delivered him. Church, it's not just how we start, it's how we finish. And you got to finish strong. Paul says that we run this race set before us with our eyes on the prize. With our eyes, we run in such a way that we might obtain it. Church, it's not just a sprint. This isn't just a day-to-day thing. This is a lifetime thing. That our legacy behind us might be generations, might span from our kids to our children's children, to our children's children's children, through all the world, that they might know that God is faithful, that God is God, that God is on the throne, that God is in control, and the battle was won for you before it ever began. Why? Because we were faithful, and we didn't seek what man sought, we sought what God said. You guys with me tonight? In conclusion, Psalms 33 says, no kings, 33:16, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. We saw that in the case of Asa. But a mighty man is not delivered by great strength. It's not about men's strength. It's not about how strong you are. It's not about how you can do this on your own. It's about trusting that God is there with you. That trusting that God is behind you. That God has delivered you. That God is there for you. Remember what we saw in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, then who can be against us? But we have got to remember that all the days of our lives. Looking back at lessons from Kings, Asa cleaned house. Asa put God before his troubles. Asa forgot his past victories. So don't forget your past victories. And seek God, not men. Did you guys get something out of the word of the Lord tonight? Praise God.